Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. That helps us a lot. I can't believe it's already mid-September. It's unbelievable. The Bible says life is a vapor, and the older I get, I realize, boy, is that a true statement. I also want to encourage those that enjoy watching these videos each week, if you would consider going to agendaweekly.com to subscribe. We produce a lot more than just this one video each week. It's a whole news brief, newsletter format with prayer and action items and many other things to help you utilize your time wisely. We want to save you time of having to watch the news all week, every week, where you have time to act and do something. So we watch the news all week and then report to you every Friday evening. Here's the main things that happen that you need to know about. Here's some things to be doing and praying about. And now keep using your time wisely. But anyway, it's a great blessing to us and it supports what we do. We need to be faithful to support those that are standing for the truth. The other side has unlimited funding. Look at Black Lives Matter when it first started. A few people got together and started that, and they had hundreds of millions of dollars in donations just pouring in. Our side, everyone's struggling because very few are willing to put their money into something. They want everything for free, but you can't have good quality content for free. So I encourage you to support Agenda Weekly, but other sources as well. The ones you enjoy watching, make sure you're contributing to them. This week, we're going to talk about the thugs of the New World Order. Who are they? And what have they done to destroy freedom worldwide? That's what we're going to talk about. But thank you so much for joining me. In this episode, I'm going to play several short clips from a bunch of different people because this topic is broad and I want the credibility of different people backing up what I'm saying for you and those you might share this with. But the thugs of the New World Order, if you don't know who they are, it's the CIA. And a brief history of the CIA. It started as the Office of Strategic Services, of course, the OSS, during World War II, and it was used in our war effort. The only problem was, as it transformed into the CIA in 1947, it had been staffed with many communists, of course, because we were allies with Russia and the Soviet Union during World War II. So they had penetrated into that institution because they wanted to know what we're thinking, what we're doing, and how things are working. They were never uprooted out of that. Once we went to war then and had a Cold War with the Soviet Union, none of those people were removed from power. And then also, as soon as World War II had ended, a lot of the vile Nazi officers, most of the top ones, they were not executed at Nuremberg. They all were brought over by the CIA and Alan Dulles to become part of the CIA. And so you have the communists and the Nazis, which shows right there, this wasn't an American thing ever. It was never about America, making America prosperous and strong and protecting her. It was about a globalist idea of world government, of orchestrating the chessboard, the countries of the world, however you want to set up a global government. That's all it was ever about, just like the United Nations. But from the very beginning, it's been a weapon. And Alan Dulles, of course, who became the first head of the CIA, was the one that is likely responsible for personally ordering the execution of John F. Kennedy when he was president. And then, of course, he was put in charge of the Warren Commission to investigate when he was the most likely culprit. That's where it all started, and that's why it's so corrupt from the beginning. It was very detached from our government, and it was run just by the globalists, and they were using it to do whatever they wanted to do and whatever they wanted to accomplish in the world. And so watch this clip real quick from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talking about Alan Dulles and the CIA.
Alan Dulles had run the Warren Commission. He was the head of the CIA who my uncle fired. When my uncle died, he said, I'm glad the little kid is dead. He thought he was a god. That's what he said to a young reporter. And then he becomes head of the commission that is, you know, it shouldn't have been called the Warren Commission. It should be called the Dulles, because Earl Warren had a full-time job at the Supreme Court. All the other guys on the Warren Commission had full-time jobs as senator and congressman. The only guy who went to every meeting and, you know, looked at every piece of evidence and developed the questions for the witnesses was Alan Dulles. He was running the entire Warren Commission. And he should have been the prime suspect in the crime. And he was communicating secretly with the people at the CIA, with David Attlee Phillips, with George Johannides, who was the CIA liaison, telling them what, you know, what questions were going to be asked and what they should reveal, and with J. Edgar Hoover at the same time. Well, the whole thing was a coordinated kind of kabuki theater. But then Congress goes back and investigates it in 79. And Congress then comes back after a year and a half seeing a lot more stuff and says, and they conclude this was a conspiracy.
Yes.
So they make that official, you know, so anybody who says it was just Lee Harvey Oswald is differing from the people who actually made the investigation.
So given
and
that.
Most of the people on that staff who I've talked to believe that it was the CIA.
I really appreciate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. because he is a historian that has studied to really know what's going on, but also then he can articulate it with all the facts, even without notes in front of him. But another clip he had, as he was talking about the CIA, America's deep state, they have controlled all the major media in America through their Operation Mockingbird. And I know a lot of you have studied that, and I've studied it before, but it's very powerful when you hear a man that's running for president talk about this in a very educated and intellectual way. But listen to this clip real quickly, and then we'll talk about it.
And in fact, in 1967, the CIA sent a letter out to a telecom out to all of its Operation Mockingbird people, which are all the assets it had in the American press, more than 400 people, editors, senior writers in the American press, saying, from now on, anybody who questions the single gunman theory of the Kennedy assassination should be characterized as a conspiracy theorist. And they didn't coin the word conspiracy theory, but they popularized it with that memo. They sent a memo out to all their stations.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, we know media has been captured. We know all the three-letter agencies in America have been captured. We know the White House has been captured. But when you realize nothing's changed, so they're still totally in control of the narrative we get from all major media, that's why they have such control of public opinion. And that's why they can do pretty much whatever they want, because they know they'll be the one talking about what really happened. So they can do some dastardly deed and then blame it on the Muslims or someone else, and all the media is going to say, yeah, look what these Muslims did, or whatever group they're trying to destroy, or the domestic terrorists, or the mothers in America. And so they also, it's important to remember, they also control all of social media, and that's come out in recent years. They funded Google and Facebook and many of the other ones at their inception. You say, why would the funding for those things come from the CIA? The intelligence agency started all the social media companies, I think almost every single one, or funded them. Why? Because that's the new media. And they know more people are being influenced by that than the traditional media, so we got to take that over too. So it's just Operation Mockingbird 2.0, and they are in charge. And we saw that from the last election. We see that with every event that happens. January 6th. If you say anything on social media that doesn't back up what the globalists are saying, you're censored, even when what you're saying is true. We saw that with COVID. Even if you're a top doctor recognized in the world, if you say something against their narrative, you're censored. I mean, so it proves what we already know, but it's very sobering when you see that. Now, as we go on to more modern times, this week we celebrated the anniversary of 9/11. And it would take hours for me to go over all the proof that September 11th was done by our government, but it's out there. And we've talked about some of that in the past. And there's overwhelming evidence to prove that. If you haven't studied it, it might sound, whoa, what is he talking about? There's documentaries, there's information, there's declassified documents and things crystal clear. What we were told happened did not happen. But what I saw this week is so many people, when it's the anniversary of September 11th, are drawn back into that narrative of waving the flag and all this stuff. I'm like, no, the flag is what did that. Our government, the United States government, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush, they're the ones that allowed the CIA to pull that off. And I believe they told them to pull that off. Get some useful idiots involved so you can point the finger at them. Oh, they did it. And they control the media. So, oh, they did it. And we'll cover up anything that looks contradictory or anything that clearly comes out that exposes it wasn't what we told you. But we need to not allow that blind patriotism to exist any longer. We can't do that because it makes us suckers for lies and it makes us suckers for propaganda. And watch this clip real quick. It's just a brief excerpt talking about Building 7. That's the building besides the Twin Towers. That's one of the buildings that came down afterward, which shows this whole thing was a plot. Just this piece of the puzzle, if you didn't know anything else, you'd go, wait a minute. Something's going on here, but watch this clip real quick.
But to simplify the situation, all you need to do is look at Building 7. What some people still don't realize is that there were three buildings that fell into their own footprint that day. Three buildings that fell at free fall speed, indistinguishable from controlled demolitions, because that's exactly what they were. As the towers came crashing down, we can see the signatures of a controlled demolition. The official story is that Building 7, known as 7 World Trade Center, caught fire as a result of debris from the Twin Towers, which somehow caused a critical internal column to break, causing a cascading failure and collapse. And if this nonsensical official narrative were true, it would make it the first and only steel skyscraper in the world to collapse from fires. The building's owner, Larry Silverstein, took control of the Twin Towers just weeks before 9/11 and had them insured to cover terrorist attacks. After Building 7 collapsed, Silverstein told the media that the decision was made to pull it, suggesting that the building was collapsed on purpose.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
This implies that they somehow rigged the explosives that afternoon while the building was still burning, which is ridiculous. And so the media dismissed his comments and changed their story. There were several witnesses who reported hearing and feeling the type of explosions one would expect from a controlled demolition.
Isn't that interesting information? Maybe you've heard some of that, maybe you haven't. The guy who owns the building takes out a policy for double what the building's worth a week or two before September 11th and makes sure the insurance company covers it for terrorist acts. Please. But you saw how it was a demolition, clearly. It fell at free fall speed. Okay? A building cannot fall at free fall speed if it's not being demolished, because free fall speed is like if you held a bowling ball outside the building and right when the building started to collapse, you drop the bowling ball and it hits the ground at the same time the building does. You realize nothing is resisting underneath, which means nothing is there. If you have a huge steel structure below a building, it can't fall at free fall speed unless something is removing that structure as it is going down, which they do in demolitions. But the problem is it takes weeks, and sometimes they said, I've been studying this, even months, to set up a demolition so a building will fall exactly in its footprint and not damage other buildings around. And so it shows it had to be done ahead of time. People weren't slipping in there to do it as the other towers are falling and the buildings are on fire. They're not slipping there. Okay, let's put all the explosives in here. It was done weeks ahead of time, clearly. So they knew stuff was going to happen. But as I studied that, I go, okay, why did they need that building to come down? Obviously paying off some crooked people who are getting all this insurance money and everything. But then I found, oh, whose office is in building number 7? Oh, it's the CIA. All of their offices were in the top floors of that building. And all the records of all their activities were destroyed. Oh, it's just a tragedy. We were wanting to investigate some of the criminal activity or some of the things people have accused them of. Oh, yeah, it all got destroyed on September 11th. We're so sorry. When you see those things, you know in your heart what's going on, even if you had no evidence, but there's a tremendous amount of evidence. A few other things that were shocking as you look at it, and we also have a documentary called Architects and Engineers Below that goes into more of the details, but in each of those towers, there was 400,000 cubic yards of concrete that were all steel reinforced. And in the rubble, when the towers were down, none of that concrete was there. All of it had been completely vaporized into powder, just dust that spread over several states once they settled. But there were no pieces of concrete, hardly at all. Another sign that, oh, it was a demolition. You had to have incredibly powerful explosives in that building. But as you watch it, find a clip of it online, of it falling again, and watch it. When you see the powder just coming out, and this one's collapsing from the top. So you go, why would everything be just disintegrating to powder? Why wouldn't it just crumble down or whatever? Why wouldn't there be big chunks of concrete at the bottom? There was just twisted metal, and that's it. And some of the metal was running in rivers. But that metal has to be so hot to do that. And there's so many things I don't have time to go into. But it was clear it was military-grade explosives because literally the concrete and steel structure was vaporized into dust that blew over multiple states, and that's why the whole town was in a foot of dust. The dust wasn't dust like dirt. The dust was concrete. It was all the concrete that had made that building. And if it would have fallen naturally, which it couldn't have, and it never has, and they never will because they're designed not to, there would have been concrete and steel through concrete all over the place, and there wasn't. One other interesting fact, because there's so much controversy in what happened to the Pentagon, because it didn't have all the wreckage you normally have outside where a plane is wrecked. All the seats, the tires, all the luggage, you know, clothes everywhere, luggage everywhere. There was none of that there. You're like, what's going on? How did this happen? The grass wasn't even messed up outside, even though it hit the first story of the building. But here is just a description of it. The people, the Muslim terrorists that supposedly were the ones that flew that 757 into the Pentagon, the pilot instructor they had hired to teach them to fly said it was like dumb and dumber. I mean, they were clueless. It was clear they were never going to make it as pilots. He said they couldn't even pass the license for a single engine plane. Just a little Piper Cherokee or something. And then this is what happened. And this is why you know the narrative, even in this instant, you can tell, okay, it's a lie, what we were told there. Here it is. It is doubtful that the best trained fighter pilots could have executed the maneuvers that supposedly crashed a 757 into the Pentagon. It required making a tight 270-degree turn while descending 7,000 feet, then leveling out so as to fly low enough over the highway just west of the Pentagon to knock down lampposts. After crossing the highway, the pilot had to take the plane to within inches of the ground so as to crash into the Pentagon at the first floor level while managing to avoid touching the lawn. And he had to do all this while flying over 400 miles an hour. Quite a feat for a flight school flunky who had never sat in the cockpit of a jet. I have a son that's a pilot. He has 1,000-plus hours experience. He can't even fly the most basic jet yet. He's excellent with the smaller ones. But to hop into a 757 with all the instrumentation and all the controls and all the... it's nonsense. I saw a video once they had top airlines pilots on simulators trying to do that same maneuver, and every single one of them just wrecked. they couldn't do it. They go, it's impossible. You can't have that big a plane that close to the ground going that speed. The gravity just sucks it into the ground. They go, there's no way that happened. Building 7 had to be destroyed to cover up all the evidence of the CIA's crimes. The Twin Towers were controlled demolitions, proven to be so by over 3,000 architects and engineers, showing the clear evidence that their collapses defied the laws of physics. 9/11 was a false flag operation to anyone that studies it, and it was the purpose of it was to dramatically expand the surveillance apparatus in America and remove all constitutional rights of anyone the government labeled as a terrorist. Now, I'm going to talk about this for a second. Back then, I know most conservatives, including myself, thought, well, that's okay. These terrorists, they shouldn't have any rights or whatever. And we should never fall for that kind of foolishness again. Everyone should have rights to have a trial where you present the evidence. And then if you're guilty, yes, hang them. But everyone deserves to have a trial in America, even our enemies, if they've done something. You don't just execute them because you don't like them. But we fell for that trap. It was patriotic to take away constitutional rights of people we don't like. Well, what have we found over the last 20 years since September 11th? It just so happens they've redefined what a terrorist is. It's no longer a Muslim extremist. Now it's a Christian, Bible-believing conservative who loves America. And they still have those rights to eliminate our rights whenever they want to. That's why the January 6 prisoners are able to rot in the gulags in Washington, D.C. Do you realize that? We allowed them to pass something that eliminated the thing they swear to uphold, the Constitution. And so now it's being turned on us. We can never take the rights of any man away from him, regardless of who he is. He has God-given rights that are clearly outlined in our Constitution. And when someone is guilty, the wonderful thing is there'll be plenty of evidence to convict them in a court, and then they go to the gallows, but not ahead of time. And we fell for that trick. Then the week after September 11th, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was anthrax letters sent to members of Congress and everything. And they told us, oh, it's from Al-Qaeda. Well, since then, we know, no, it was from the CIA's lab at Fort Detrick. Anthrax has a fingerprint, just like many things do. You can tell exactly where it comes from because there's different strains of it. And that was from the CIA's lab at Fort Detrick. And we see that and we just go, why did they do that? It was used to force through the Patriot Act. Some of the members of Congress were saying, no, no, this is unconstitutional. No matter what it's trying to do, protect our country or whatever, you can't do this. And those are the very people that were sent the anthrax. It closed down Congress and the Patriot Act just swept on through. But watch this clip by Bobby Kennedy of him explaining that.
Let me go through what happened in Iraq just for, give me 1 minute to summarize the, you know, we were tricked into Iraq by the neocons who told us that Saddam had something to do with the World Trade Center, which was a lie, that he had planted the anthrax attacks that came 5 days after the World Trade Center, which was a lie. That turned out to be, you know, the intelligence agencies and the U.S. military at Fort Detrick. That anthrax the FBI found came from Fort Detrick. So it was somebody in the U.S. government who sent it to Patrick Leahy and Tom Daschle, who were the two senators in the week after 9/11 who were trying to block the Patriot Act. And it shut down Congress and the Patriot Act went through. And
Wait. Really?
Yeah. Yes. And the FBI, after a year of investigation, traced the anthrax. It was a kind of Ames anthrax that was weaponized. And the only source of that in the world could be the U.S. government. And they traced it to Fort Detrick.
To the biolab there.
Yes, the biolab at Fort Detrick, the CIA biolab at Fort Detrick. Oh, somebody sent that in at the time the Patriot Act was being debated, and the two leading guys who were blocking it was Patrick Leahy and Tom Daschle were the recipients of it. is shut down Congress. The Patriot Act goes through. And what does the Patriot Act do? Two things. I mean, it basically gets rid of a large part of the United States Constitution Bill of Rights and allows spying by intelligence agencies on the American people. And it reopens the bioweapons arms race, because bioweapons were shut down in 1969 by, we saw, you know, Nixon did this incredible thing of closing Fort Detrick, shutting them down, and saying we're no longer making bioweapons, and then got everybody to sign a treaty in 73. Well, to ban bioweapons. The Patriot Act has a provision in it that says we're not walking away from the Geneva Convention, which makes you, it's a hanging offense to develop bioweapons. We're not walking away from the Bioweapons Charter of 1972-1973, but we are adopting a new rule that any federal official who violates those acts cannot be prosecuted.
So the anthrax scares, gets the Patriot Act rammed through, not noticing it's setting up things they can do in the future with no consequences. And that was all necessary for COVID. So they can release a bioweapon on the American people or conduct medical experiments it talked about in there. That's okay now, on the American people, by the military with their mRNA COVID shots that they designed, the military, and they gave it to Pfizer and Moderna. And what happens if they're caught in that? There's no penalty for the crime, because in the Patriot Act it says, no, you can't ever charge them with that crime if they create a bioweapon, if they experiment on the American people. No, you can't do anything. And that all was necessary step for the coup of 2020 and the weaponization of all the three-letter agencies against the American people. What we see them doing right now is eliminating free speech completely. And here's a little clip from Greg Rees talking about what our founders thought about free speech, how vital it was, and how that literally now is, if you are not saying the party line, it's not just you get censored, they're starting to arrest people that say, I don't think the 2020 election was fair, or I don't believe the January 6th narrative is right, or whatever. And here's an example of that.
George Washington wrote, "If men are to be precluded from offering their sentiments on a matter which may involve the most serious and alarming consequences that can invite the consideration of mankind, reason is of no use to us. The freedom of speech may be taken away, and dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved, and tyranny is erected on its ruins." And this is where we are at today. Our First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And it has been stripped away from us by tyrants. News host Owen Schroyer is being charged with the crime of questioning the results of the 2020 presidential elections, the most blatant election fraud in U.S. history. And he did so peacefully, which is his God-given right under the U.S. Constitution. Schroyer isn't being charged with conspiracy, incitement, or any actual crime at all. He is being charged for exercising his freedom of speech. The sentencing document goes on for pages, quoting him for saying what Americans on both sides of the crippling two-party system have been saying for over a century. In short, that the government is tyrannical and criminal, which should be obvious to just about everyone at this point. And this is not a crime. It is the first line of defense against tyranny, our freedom to call it out.
The deep state is waging war on Americans. All opposition speech is censored and will start to be criminalized. All protesters are labeled as terrorists and arrested, like January 6th. All political opposition is attacked. Look what's happening to President Trump, a former president of the United States. if they'll do that to him, don't you think for a minute that you are safe, or anyone is, because you're not. And just a few more key things here to just show the consistency of this. The CIA is the dark hand of the mafia of the deep state. And even bringing it into modern history with Ukraine, in 2014, the CIA overthrew the government of Ukraine because they wouldn't side with America over Russia. They were wanting just to have a neutral relationship because half of their country was Russian-speaking and was friendly toward Russia, so they just wanted to be neutral. But that wasn't okay with the CIA. Watch this clip.
2014, there are riots, and it's called the Maidan Rebellion in Ukraine, which we're not told that we are financing those riots. The newspapers never told us, our government never told us. USAID, which is a CIA front, put $5 billion into funding those riots. Those riots lead to a coup d'etat against the first elected, democratically elected government of the Ukraine. It was a government that refused to choose sides and to say, we're going to be on the side of the West. So we wanted them out. A month before that government is overthrown, Victoria Nuland, who's the centerpiece of the neocon ideology and who is now a high-level official in the State Department, has a secret call with the U.S. ambassador, which is tape-recorded and is now public, which anybody can go and look up, where she is picking the new cabinet for Ukraine, which is which is a U.S. Western cabinet. So they're picking the new government a month before the old government is overthrown.
Is that democracy when Victoria Nuland picks her government?
Well, that's the point, is USAID doesn't really do, and the CIA don't do democracy. The CIA has overthrown, I think, 83 governments between 1947 and 1997. That's a third of the governments on Earth, and most of them were democracies.
The CIA did what they always do. Did you hear that? They funded the riots, instigated, organized, and then toppled the government. The CIA is the totalitarian control arm of the globalists for the world. And did you hear Kennedy? He said the CIA has overthrown 83 governments since 1947. That is a Democrat that is brilliant, though, in his study of history, and he does not ever state things that he cannot document with facts. And that's why I appreciate him so much. But he studied so much, he has the facts. One-third of all the countries of the world have been overturned, most of them democratic countries that elected their officials. And we just saw it in Brazil with Bolsonaro. The Biden administration went down to help with the elections to make sure they're free and fair. And the communists that just got out of prison, Lula, came to power when they had a president that the people loved. It continues today. And I have one more clip to play, and it shows what they're doing right now with the deadly viruses and all those Ukraine laboratories working together with the communist Chinese military in Wuhan and other places of the world. Do you think they're doing that with the intention of never using them, creating these bio weapons? That wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't do that. You're not working so actively to do that if there's not a plan to use them. But I've told you over and over again, and I always will, what is the globalist number one goal? That's right. Depopulation. And that's why you see war and bioweapons and famines and closure of farms and cut of energy production and all the other things. And you'll keep seeing that. They hate human beings. There's too many of us to control. And their goal, that they say in their own words, is they want to eliminate at least 7 billion people. That's their words, not mine. And so watch this clip about what is going on right now and what Anthony Fauci started and how destructive it really is.
A field of science called gain-of-function science, where you take an infectious microbe and you amplify its infectivity, or you make it jump species so it may kill monkeys, now you make it kill humans, and you adopt it that way. And there's all kinds of methods, and then you make it immune to antibiotics and to therapeutic drugs and to other therapies. So it's actually the inverse of medicine. For 2,800 years since Hippocrates, doctors have been trying to figure out how to make microbes less infectious and less deadly and developed antibiotics and therapeutics to do that. Well, this, the guys who are involved in this, there's 36,000 what are called life scientists, but they're actually death scientists, who are now employed full-time in developing, you know, microbes that will can be used to kill people. In 2014, three of those microbes escaped. You know, Fauci built labs all over the country, in Galveston and Boston and everywhere. There are BSL-4 labs. We don't even know how many there are, BSL-3 and BSL-4. We have no idea how many there are. There's, you know, we've counted them. I have a new book coming out that goes through the ones we know. But there are many secret ones that people don't know about. And they're doing it here in the United States. But in 2014, three bugs escaped from three different labs. And they were high profile breaks, and they were very dangerous things, smallpox and a couple of other bad microbes. The public learned about it, and there was a lot of publicity, and Congress held hearings. 300 scientists wrote President Obama and said, you've got to shut down Anthony Fauci because he's going to create a microbe that will cause a global pandemic. And so Obama signed a moratorium that shut down the 18 worst of Anthony Fauci's experiments, where most of them were taking place in Galveston and in North Carolina. By a scientist called Ralph Barrick down there. And instead of obeying that law, Anthony Fauci shifted a lot of his operations offshore. And those operations ended up, most of them, in the Wuhan lab, which is a military lab, and that the Chinese run, the People's Liberation Army. And then a lot of them went to the Ukraine. So a lot of that science now, and it's funded, not, you know, Fauci was funding lots of it, but then the other government agencies began to get confidence in, you know, their ability to get away with it, and most of it is being funded by the Department of Defense. The most of all, the biggest single funder is USAID, which is, you know, a CIA cutout.
Did you hear the key things he said? Fauci is working and has been with the Chinese Communist military to create viruses that are extremely deadly. Why would you do that with your number one enemy? Because they're not his enemy. They're not the globalist enemy. They're their friends. That's why they've propped him in power. They are the model for the world. And so this work, did you hear where he said it was funded by? The CIA. It's the globalists setting up the conditions where they can create viruses that they have a vaccine to and nobody else does, and it will sweep through the world and eliminate all the people that don't go along to get along. China right now is collecting the DNA of every person on the planet. They're trying to buy up all those DNA companies so they can create bioweapons that will kill everyone except Chinese. And that they openly talk about that, and that's what they're doing. Our government and all its agencies have been captured, and now they're just tyrants. And we have to face that reality. We can love the principles America was founded upon and stand up for them and teach them to our children, but don't get teary-eyed when someone waves the flag. That now has become a symbol of evil, of tyranny, of corruption, and of a hatred for life. And it's not what it used to be. Our country that you love and I love and I can tear up thinking about doesn't exist anymore. I know that's sobering, but it's true. We just have to know that. We can't live in this fairy tale. Again, our job is to deconstruct this nonsense and build back the America of our founders. So at least we have a blueprint for where we're trying to go and what we're trying to do. That's wonderful. But that's the world we live in. And I just was able to communicate just a fraction of what's there. I could have gone on for 7-8 hours, but I just have too many pages of stuff and too much research, but I wanted to give you enough. And I also wanted to warn you this week, of course, the new COVID shots are coming out, and they're nonsense, they're evil, they're poison. How do I know that? I know that because no clinical trials were done. None. And they admit that. No safety studies were done for humans. None. And they admit that. No one that was well-meaning would give a shot to someone when you don't know what the effects might be. It is to cut the population as fast as they can, ignore all the science, ignore all the evidence that the things they've been giving people are poison and the adverse effects are increasing every day and the mortality rates are skyrocketing among all the age groups. But here's one blessing, I guess, even though it's not really good, but it is in a way. God is blinding them to the fact that they're slaughtering their own people. Most who are gullible enough to trust big government and big pharma are liberals, Democrats, and progressives. And I'm not glad that stuff's happening to them, but that's a reality. The ones being sterilized, the ones that are becoming sick and getting cancer, most of them will be the useful idiots of the left that just do what they're told and think big government's the greatest thing ever and think we should have a socialist form of government to make things fair and everything like that and think illegal immigration's a blessing to our country and all those. And it's sad because I don't want that to happen to them either. But the reality is if we stay strong, if we stay healthy, if we're prayerful, if we're purposeful, if we raise our families to love and fear God, if we become more self-sufficient, I really want to encourage you that in closing here. We need to really work on the food self-sufficiency. That's a key agenda item because you have to have food to live. Most everything else is not necessary, but you have to have food. And so when they have the food, they will have control. And the bad food they're producing for us gives you bad health, which creates dependency on big pharma and big medicine. So you can't eat their stuff. We need to eat healthy local food, which helps give you a healthy body and gives you liberty. And just real quickly, some of the things to focus on. Think about how prepared you are in these areas. Do you have a source for fruits in your own yard or a neighbor or a local farmer? Vegetables, meat, milk, nuts, eggs, grains, and legumes. About those eight categories, if you go, yeah, I've got some of those available right where I am, or I produce some of those. I got some fruit trees, I've got some nut trees, I've got a big garden, whatever. Those are the things we need to have a healthy life. And herbs, of course, grow, have a little herb garden or a place where you can buy herbs and things. But they're going to continue to push things on us that are not healthy, that hurt our bodies. Why? So they can make more money on us, because then there's more disease and there's more sickness. And so we're more dependent on them because we got to take their pills. And they're not going to give us their pills if we don't go along to get along. But anyway, I know this is a sobering topic, but as I saw the September 11th news and I watched that interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I thought we need to be sobered now and then to the reality of this world around us. It is corrupted, as the Bible tells us. It is against us. And every single thing our government tells us is a lie. I've thought back over my whole life, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and up to today. And as I now have studied history and know the truth about things, I don't think there was a single thing I was ever told the truth about. Anything. Everything was twisted a little bit, even things that didn't need to be. Why? Because liars love to lie. And deceivers love to deceive. And people that are corrupt love to do what is evil. And that's where we are. But our verse for this week is, it's Proverbs 10:16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. That's what we're talking about. We need to be involved in life, doing things that produce life and health and prosperity for our children and our grandchildren. And not prosperity just in money, but in knowing the truth, to be wise, to have understanding. Those are the things that have real value. But the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. That's what we've studied today. But hope you have a great week. And until next week, God bless you.